Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's got to be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at Salsa Night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
Three and two and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools that help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats, too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
There.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. While Vice President Harris is preparing for tomorrow night's debate with former President Trump, her husband is on the campaign trail.
The contrast tomorrow on that stage is going to be very clear. A lifelong public servant who has only had one client, us, the people, versus a guy whose only client has been himself, because that's all he cares about.
Second gentleman Doug Emhoff at an event today in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Idaho Supreme Court will decide where to move the trial of Brian Koberger, who's charged with the murders of four college students. His attorneys were granted a change of venue after they argued that there was no way their client would get a fair trial in Layton County. Harvey Weinstein was rushed to a New York hospital today for heart surgery. The Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, says she's completed chemotherapy and looks forward to eventually returning to work. This is ABC News. A storm now in the Gulf has developed into Tropical Storm Francine. It's expected to make landfall sometime tomorrow afternoon in Louisiana as a Category 1 hurricane. An arrest warrant issued for the suspect in this weekend's highway shooting in Kentucky.
As law enforcement continues tracking suspect Joseph Couch in the woods off I-75 in London, Kentucky, investigators have retraced his steps before the shootings. Sources tell ABC News the 32-year-old Couch had some kind of domestic dispute Saturday morning, bought a gun at a local gun store, and got into a road rage incident that escalated from there. They also say he had an arrest in 2023 and was charged with making terroristic threats. And with him still on the run, multiple Kentucky school districts have canceled classes as a precaution. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
There's an egg recall following a salmonella outbreak in 9 states. At least 65 people have gotten sick, and some of them had to be hospitalized. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
I got my shit together.
I got my shit together.
I got my shit together.
Just say it. You can get your shots together, too. Your COVID-19 shot and your flu shot at the same visit as recommended by the CDC.
I got my shots together.
Ask your healthcare provider about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both.
Are you getting your shit together?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Mira, Jorge, let's bring the nail gun over here.
Jose stands tall atop his sustainable flooring company.
Totally. It's renewable and moisture resistant, but we have several green options too. Or we got some beautiful reclaimed oak.
But floored by his success, he needs to hire more installers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Former President Donald Trump delivered wide-ranging remarks during a Saturday rally in Mosinee.
We will ultimately eliminate the Federal Department of Education and send education back to Wisconsin and back to the states. We'll send it back to the states so that Ron Johnson can run it, okay?
Trump's latest campaign visit to Wisconsin followed news that his sentencing on his New York hush money trial conviction will be postponed until after the election. Prison time for a fatal punch, 7 years in prison for 65-year-old Kevin Samer on his felony murder conviction in the death of 39-year-old Josh Davies. He died weeks after being punched by Samer at a Heartland bar in June of last year in a fight that began when Samer criticized Davies' tattoos. In Waukesha County Court Friday, Davies' mother requested a maximum sentence.
To get the defendant off the streets and his animal-like behavior to be caged and controlled. The pain and damage you, Kevin, have caused to him and so many others is just simply unbearable and unacceptable.
Samer, who had no prior criminal record, will have 5 years of extended supervision after his release. He received credit for more than a year already spent in the Waukesha County Jail. Life in prison for a Madison man convicted of killing a toddler.
Online court records show Marshawn Giles was sentenced last week to life without the possibility of release. Giles was found guilty of over a dozen charges, including first-degree intentional homicide and first-degree child sexual assault. The 20-month-old girl was found dead in April of 2022 when Madison police entered an apartment. An autopsy found the child suffered skull fractures and blunt force injuries consistent with sexual assault. Dane County jurors rejected a defense plea of not guilty for reason of insanity to some of the charges against Giles during his trial earlier this year. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 83 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the west at around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 54. Tomorrow, sunshine 83. And then warmer sunshine Wednesday with a high near 88. If you love weather, check out severestudios.com. You'll find live radar, weather stories, and live storm chasers at severestudios.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 80.
Good to have you along with us here today for AOA. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on our program, we got a look at the weather here in segment two. We have a few things to talk about. Very cool over the weekend in many areas. If we see some frost, also, though, heat's going to move back in. And we have the potential of a new named tropical storm in the Gulf of Mexico. Does that do anything to low water levels on the Mississippi River and the lower Mississippi River basin? We're going to talk weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek coming up here in segment two of today's show. In segment three, we're going to have a conversation with Dr. Rodrigo Worley from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. They, along with some partners at the University of Illinois, have been conducting research and studying giant ragweed in Wisconsin fields. And we're going to learn about this. Some really good research being done here, looking at herbicide resistance to giant ragweed and other things. So we're going to have that conversation with Dr. Worley coming up here in segment three today. And then to wrap the show, this is something I thought was really cool. A Nebraska woman has started a company making pelletized sheep wool for fertilizer. We're going to talk with Megan Landis Murphy about that and how she has developed this company and more. It's fertilizer for, think about your garden plants, house plants, et cetera. That's coming up here in segment four of today's AOA. Let's kick things off. Joining us now as we talk markets, Dwayne Bussey with Bolt Marketing is with us here on the show today. Dwayne, it's good to hear from you again. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Jesse?
Hey, can't complain. I know you were getting a little bit of early field work done in the tractor here today. So thanks for taking a few minutes to join us from the tractor cab. I know that's going to be a familiar sight for you and many folks across a wide swath of the corn belt here over the next several weeks as harvest going to start to ramp up. And curious here, your thoughts on this grain market, Dwayne. We had a little bit of a rally, kind of got rejected at some key resistance points, it looked like, and we kind of settled back here to end last week, but now a little pop of the bean market again to start off Monday's trade. And what's your perception of this grain market right now?
Well, we had some funds getting out of some short positions. We saw that in the commitment of traders report. Actually, when it comes to corn, they've cut their record short position almost in half now, which is great. That means they're buying their short positions back and the market rallies. The problem is the market didn't rally a whole lot, so it's a little bit depressing that way. I think maybe on Friday what you meant is, like I said, some technical resistance. November beans hit the 50-day moving average and struggled, but what you probably also met too was some farmer selling. If there's any old crop left out there, probably selling that, and hopefully selling a little bit of new crop too. You and I talked about break-evens might be okay this year, and if stuff has to go to town, maybe that should be sold on this pop, because I really don't want to pay commercial storage with the higher interest rates this winter.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's some opportunity here in this window and some things to think about in the row crops in particular. Wheat market's been interesting. I'm hearing talk, and you've mentioned this to me as well, of a pretty sizable spring wheat crop across parts of the northern plains. It kind of just depends maybe on varieties. I know there were some quality issues, but a lot of folks are saying things are looking good. You mentioned to me before we went on the air a big Stats Canada report out today as well. I mean, talk about that. What's happening in this wheat market right now?
Yeah, Stats Canada came out this morning with what USDA would call like a quarterly stocks report, and finding out they had more old crop wheat on hand than we anticipated, quite a bit more than the trade anticipated, and quite a bit more than USDA thought they had. So that's why you're seeing added pressure to the spring wheat market this morning, down about 8-9 cents, pulling Chicago wheat down as well, and which in turn probably pulls corn down a little bit. But like I said, you do have beans higher. We did have one export sales flash this morning to China. That's great and good, but boy, we really need to see our export window probably extend into South America's, Brazil's export window if we're really going to get caught up to where USDA's pace at. And remember, we got a USDA report later on this week, and maybe the pressure that came on Friday and all the grains is reminding everyone that it's probably not going to be a crazy bullish number. The yields might get bumped up, actually. I'm a little bit worried. It sure looks good for the most part in the Midwest from what I hear from everyone.
Yeah, very true. Well, and thinking about South America, there's some early dryness going on in Brazil and Argentina, and I'm sure we'll get an update on that with John Moranek in segment two, but that's something that I think this market right now, Dwayne, is at least starting to keep one eye on South America's spring and keeping the other on U.S. fall harvest right now.
Absolutely. I think that's really a part of why soybeans are higher this morning. Opening calls last night were actually for the market to be lower again off that technical selling. But I think with the pop here, I think we're looking at the extended forecast for Brazil for the next 10 days is still pretty hot and dry. You know, it's their dry cycle, and this is fairly normal. And once it starts raining, they start planting, and then they're into their wet cycle. So it's not crazy, but it's just, yeah, it's got the market's attention anyway. Because like I said, the further delayed they get planting, maybe the more export window we have open, which I think we really are going to need so we can move a lot of this record crop we've got in the U.S.
Yeah, very true. Well, and you mentioned this too a little bit ago. You and I were talking about break-even prices and more. I mean, realistically, what does a farmer need to do with their marketing right now? Or what should they, I guess maybe not what they need to do, but what should they be considering doing in terms of educating themselves and just trying to stay on top of things here as we get real busy with harvest season?
Right. On average, every farmer's undersold right now. We didn't really get much of a weather pop in May. I mean, we got a little one, but it wasn't enough that anyone probably should have been 100% sold. So now it's, you got to kind of reset and make a new marketing plan from today. And when we're talking about a large crop coming in the U.S., like you said, maybe if you got a decent basis right now, maybe breaking even is okay. If you got high yield potential on your farm and it has to go to town, maybe you just sell that. Remember, then if the market does go down here later on, you're on some pressure, then you could buy it back, of course. So, I mean, you can choose to do nothing, but I don't know if that's the right case. I mean, soybeans have popped a long ways off the lows here. And if we go back to those lows, you're going to kind of be wishing you sold some.
How about the livestock trade? We got about a minute there, Dwayne. What are you watching in cattle and hogs? A little bit of green early in the week on Monday, but what are you watching right now in the protein sector?
The green doesn't surprise me today. A little bit of recovery. We had a really tough end of the week last week. Of course, you know, a case of anthrax found in Wyoming. I think the way those headlines read, I think that kind of shook the market a little bit. But I think cooler heads prevail and people realize, you know, we usually have a case or two in the U.S. every summer, so it shouldn't be a big deal. So maybe a little bit of recovery, but, you know, cash cattle were down a little bit last week, so that puts pressure on live cattle, but look for a bit of a recovery here to start the week, and then obviously it'll be all about demand and cash cattle later, but I think the lower trend probably stays intact here in cattle.
Well, it's something that we've been curious about for quite some time, if we'd end up getting into a bit of a lower trend here in cattle, so we're going to watch that closely. Dwayne, if folks want to reach out to you for some marketing advice there at Bolt Marketing, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can call me directly at 605-448-2365, or they can always check us out online at boltmarketingllc.com.
With that, Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing, always good to talk with you, sir. Enjoy that tractor time today, and we will talk to you again real soon.
Will do. Thanks, Jesse.
Dwayne Bussey with Bolt Marketing joining us here today on AOA. Coming up next, we're going to get an update on the weather outlook for the week ahead. John Baranek with DTN joins us next here on AOA.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in proven solutions. Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, that weather map, pretty quiet to start the week. We had some seasonably cool weather across much of the country through the weekend, but now talking some heat building back in to start this week. And then also our eyes go to the Gulf of Mexico. We are watching some tropical system here that could bring some pretty heavy rainfall to parts of the lower Mississippi Valley, and more this week. Let's get the details. Joining us now, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, hope you had a good weekend. Great to have you back with us.
I did. I mean, we had football starting back up again. It was, you know, this is my kind of year, or my kind of time of year. Absolutely. I should say. Great, great weather, football. I mean, couldn't be better.
That little cool crisp in the air this past weekend, I think, really kind of hit home that football was back in full swing with college and the NFL, John. I think that just gave me that extra feeling. I mean, I even made my first batch of chili because of it. So there you go.
How about that? You're on top of it. I mean, I know a lot of places got down, into the 40s was pretty widespread. We did see some 30s out there. Little frost in Wisconsin, but I think it was more northern Wisconsin, didn't really impact too many farm fields. But yeah, that chill was in the air, it was a little nice and crispy. And, you know, my Cyclones beat your Hawkeyes, so I was very happy about that.
Yeah, you had to bring it up. You had to bring it.
Sorry.
All right. Well, let's move away from that topic before it gets worse for me. You mentioned the frost, and just real quick on that. It sounded like it was mainly, to your point, some of those areas that weren't really key production areas that might have gotten a little bit of frost this past weekend, right?
Yeah, it was like the Arrowhead of Minnesota, northern Wisconsin. I think I saw a few in northern Michigan, too. But those are mostly those wooded areas, the North Woods up there. Not a whole lot of production up there. There could have been some areas that saw some frost, but overall, not a big impact to us, thankfully, because a lot of those areas up there are still a little bit behind, and that would have killed them off kind of quickly. So, yeah, overall good news. I was a little fearful over it, though. The setup was almost perfect for getting kind of widespread frost everywhere, and we're just lucky enough we have just enough soil moisture moisture in the air to limit us from falling too deeply there. So thank the corn for continuing to sweat it out a little bit.
All right. Fair enough. Well, to turn our attention to this week, I know we're going to have some heat move in from the west here. And so we need to talk about that, but I think we should start with what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico. A new tropical system that sounds like it could bring some pretty heavy rainfall to the lower Mississippi Valley here later this week. Maybe could help out some river levels on the Mississippi. John, what's the latest with this tropical system and how is this all setting up?
Yeah, I mean, you brought it up last week. We should talked to you about this a little bit more. I think you're more on the ball of it. No, we talked about it last week and I was like, I don't know, that's kind of far out there. And it kind of needed a couple of things to come together just right to happen. It looks like that's going to happen here. We got this front in the Gulf of Mexico. We had a little tropical depression or tropical wave that moved into the southern Gulf over the weekend, and they're kind of forming this little tropical system there in the western Gulf of Mexico. It has not been named yet, but the winds are strong enough that it could have been. It just needs a closed low to be labeled a tropical system. So it's on the verge. It's going to happen here today. Most likely it'll be called Francine, I'm sorry. And then it is forecast to move northward through the Gulf of Mexico here over the next 2 days. Looks like it'll hit Louisiana sometime late on Wednesday. Not exactly sure where or the exact timing of it, but it does look like Louisiana. Then it moves up the Mississippi Valley, probably toward the Boot Heel of Missouri before getting stuck late this week. And so all that area through there from Louisiana all the way up to southeastern Missouri, that whole Delta region there does look like it's going to be in line for some pretty good rainfall. Initially over Louisiana, probably in the like 5 to 10 inch range for some of those areas. That's a lot of rain for them. But farther north, it's more like 3 to 5. So a lot of these areas down there have been dealing with very dry conditions lately, and drought has been increasing significantly. So the soils are dry. They need the rain. And they'll soak it up. And that's good news that, like you mentioned, that will help out the water levels on the Mississippi River. We do need to kind of get more into the Ohio Valley and more kind of farther north to really raise those levels up and really be confident in that. But immediately, at least, it should help out. It wouldn't be as long lasting if we don't get the rain to kind of move farther north as well. So we'll be kind of hoping for that a little bit in that regard. But, you know, this is also harvest time, right? So a lot of those areas are also looking to go out and harvest. Hard to do that when it's consistently raining for several days. And really, once it gets to the boot heel here on Friday, Jesse, that's where our confidence ends. And where this goes from there is could be anything. I doubt it gets too much farther north than the Ohio River. That's going to be hard to do with a ridge building over eastern Canada. Should try and keep that farther south. But also the steering winds around it are going to be very light. And so does it move west? I mean, it honestly could. It could get sucked up by one of those systems off in the west, or it could just kind of drift lazily off through the southeast. You know, at that point, it wouldn't be tropical. We wouldn't be talking about widespread heavy rain, but continued showers there in the southeast. And that's probably the most likely scenario, is it just hangs out in the Tennessee Valley through next week and just kind of produces continued showers there in the southeast. But don't have any confidence after what happens after it stalls out on Friday, kind of in the boot heel area.
All right. We're going to keep our eyes on it and see what happens here this week. I mentioned this too, the heat building back into the west, and that's going to get into some portions of the Northern Plains and the Western Corn Belt here this week. How hot is it going to get? Any thoughts with that heat moving in, John?
Yeah, if this was a month ago, we'd be talking about triple digits. But luckily, you know, we're getting into September and our averages are falling. But it is going to be pretty warm. Lots of 80s, lots of 90s there throughout the Corn Belt here for this week. Just kind of spreading throughout. And, you know, outside of some of those showers possibly moving in from the south because of the hurricane, it should be pretty warm out there. And not a whole lot of precipitation either. So, you know, that ridge that I talked about over eastern Canada is going to be a pretty strong feature here. And all these systems that move out into the west are going to get deflected north into the Canadian prairies. So not a lot of precipitation with them. You know, some spotty showers maybe, and we'll see what the hurricane brings, but not a lot of precipitation either. So some of these areas up here in the north where we still have another month or so to go, it's going to be a little touch and go, see if we can get a little bit of rain squirted out from the atmosphere. If not, you know, it's hot and dry, and that's not a good combination for up here at all.
All right, let's look at South America here before we run out of time in this segment. Still watching the dryness in parts of Brazil and Argentina. Now, I know it's very early, John, but what's some of the latest that you are keeping an eye on as they get into their spring months down in South America?
Yeah, you're right. It is very early, and the planting season for Argentina is pretty long, but it's not good right now. Very dry over most of that country, and no significant changes. They keep getting fronts, but very little rainfall. Only one kind of small area there near Buenos Aires is doing well with soil moisture. Everywhere else is pretty dry. They do have a front coming through tomorrow and Wednesday that, again, brings some streaky showers through, but nothing very significant. So they continue to be dry here for the next, you know, say 10 days. That front does produce some decent rainfall in southern Brazil, which does get into kind of some of those soybean areas that will start to get planted here. So that's good for them, but it does not make it into central Brazil at all. And central Brazil is where the real concern is. You know, usually they don't start planting now anyway, but they need rain to happen before the rain happens. Their wet season doesn't start until the end of September, early October. And they need rain to happen before that for them to be confident on planting on time. And we just don't see it. These fronts that kind of move up into southern Brazil just do not make their way into central Brazil. And so they continue to be very dry, and temperatures out there are over 100 degrees every day. So, I mean, they just have no soil moisture. They can't start planting. It just would be irresponsible for them to do so. But we'll see how delayed they could be here later this month or maybe going into October. And that would not only just kind of push back their soybean planting and, you know, make them angry about that, but it would more significantly impact their safrinha crop, that second season double crop of corn and cotton that they do in 2025. So if that's impacted by the late planting here for soybeans, that could be some significant issues then for corn and cotton later this year into next year.
All right. Find more online, dtnpf.com. With that, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, thanks for joining us. As always, appreciate it, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
All right, coming up next, we will talk about herbicide-resistant giant ragweed and some new research trying to combat that with University of Wisconsin-Madison's Dr. Rodrigo Worley here on AOA.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk. You're listening.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk up 69 to 23.53, November up 60 to 22.89, December up 51 to 21.95, January milk up 54 to 20.74. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets closed mostly higher after the big bounce during the noon hour as some strength in some of the cash markets helping to support the markets with strength in boxed beef prices as well, along with some short covering and a risk on type of attitude in the market. Now, hog markets were lower in the nearby months, higher in some of the deferred contracts, though. Midday pork cutout values were higher, and that helped to support some of those deferred contracts. October live cattle up $1.75 to $176.92. September feeder cattle up $3.42 to $237.72. October hogs down 70 cents to $78.80. Chicago Board of Trade soybeans sharply higher. Corn also relatively higher. Wheat also following suit. A new sale of soybeans was announced to China, and soybeans U.S. are 80 to 90 cents per bushel at a discount to Brazil. And that's also helping to support some of the markets, as well as increasing demand is expected. September corn up a half to 384 and a quarter. September beans up 10 and three quarters to 10 even. September wheat up 2 and a quarter.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it for about a couple minutes.
And joining us now here on Agriculture of America, we're learning more about a recent study from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and the University of Wisconsin-Madison that identifies the first cases of multiple herbicide-resistant giant ragweed in Wisconsin. Of course, as we continue to evolve through agriculture, we have plenty of issues out in our fields that we have to contend with. Things continue to evolve and more. So here to tell us more about this herbicide resistance for giant ragweed in Wisconsin, one of the lead researchers on the study, Dr. Rodrigo Worley from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And Rodrigo, thank you for joining us here today on the program. Hope you're doing well, sir.
Hi, Jesse. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So set this up for us. Herbicide-resistant giant ragweed being found in Wisconsin. And as I was kind of alluding to there, here we go with this evolution as we continue throughout agriculture and the different pests, weeds, diseases, you name it, that we have to find ways to fight and combat in our fields. Talk about what has been found here in Wisconsin first.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. So there's nothing new about herbicide resistance. It's happening everywhere. As we continue to rely on herbicides, weeds will continue to evolve. That's just the nature of the game. For the past decade or so, you know, the pigweeds, whether water hemp or Palmer amaranth, they have been on the spotlight, right? Across the Midwest, the amaranth species have become the most troublesome weeds to control. But in this particular case, it's important that our growers not only keep an eye on their pigweeds, but also in other weeds, right? So today we're here to talk about giant ragweed. Over a decade ago, giant ragweed used to be a major weed in the state of Wisconsin. It still is. However, water hemp kind of stole that spotlight. So year after year, we do surveys with our farmers here in the state of Wisconsin, and water hemp is always the number one, you know, the most challenging and the most difficult to control. But every year, giant ragweed receives that second place. So giant ragweed is a very, very important weed here in the state of Wisconsin. Okay, so a little bit of history here behind this project. I started at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 2018 as the extension weed specialist. And at that time, I wanted to understand what was the status of resistance across the state of Wisconsin. So we focused first on water hemp, but then our growers were also asking, what about giant ragweed? I was very fortunate to work with my colleague, Dr. David Stoltenberg, and we have an amazing student, Felipe Faleco, that did a lot of screening. So Felipe did a lot of work looking at resistance in water hemp, but also giant ragweed. And this is where this project started. So what we did, Jesse, we asked growers and stakeholders, agronomists, to send us samples of weed seeds that they were having a difficult time controlling. And we received a lot of samples of giant ragweed back in 2018 and 2018. Then Felipe started screening in the greenhouse. And then as Felipe made progress through this project here, we found some unique populations that were showing some novel results there. So in the case of bad news for farmers, but exciting from a research standpoint because, especially the resistance to PPO herbicides, it had never been reported in giant ragweed before. So this really got our attention, Jesse. So that was something new that had not been reported before.
I wonder about this, and I'd love your perspective here from the research you guys did and more. With the herbicide resistance and more that we're seeing in our fields, is it a case of maybe we have a smaller pool of products out there, or maybe components of certain products has gotten smaller over the years? Is it a case of seed technologies? Maybe that pool is getting smaller. Is it all of the above, none of the above? What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. So for many years here, we were able to control our weeds with Roundup, right? And then Roundup was taking care of business, so we didn't have to worry too much about using other chemicals. But once we lost Roundup as far as control of these weeds that now have evolved resistance to glyphosate, we can still use Roundup, but it's just not controlling this species that we're discussing here today. Then we start looking for alternatives, right? And as you start exploring the alternatives, there are not a whole lot of options that are very effective from a post-emergence weed control standpoint, especially when thinking about the pigweeds, right? But for giant ragweed, there are still some alternatives, and that's why we did all this efforts, okay? So resistance in giant ragweed to glyphosate had been confirmed, and also to ALS inhibitor herbicides. Those cases have been reported in the past. Through this research, we documented some populations that now have resistance to both of the sites of action. And then for the first time, at a global level, we documented a population that has resistance to PPO inhibitor herbicides, or group 14. And some of you might be asking, why is that relevant? That is very relevant here, Jesse, because this population that we detected to be resistant to PPO herbicides was detected in areas where farmers are growing non-GMO soybeans. So the main option for these farmers to control giant ragweed and many other broadleaf weeds post-emergence is through the use of PPO herbicides such as lactofen and flumazafen. Okay, so these farmers have been using lactofen or flumazafen for many years to control giant ragweed post-emergence, and suddenly that herbicide stopped working. It wasn't providing the level of control they were seeing in the past. When the samples came to us, we first thought that there were issues with the application, right? Maybe the farmers were spraying the weeds and they were too advanced. But then in talking with the farmers and agronomists, they said, Rodrigo, we're doing everything by the book. Something is off here. So then we did all these experiments in the greenhouse, and then we confirmed through our dose response studies that this population was indeed resistant to flumazafen, high level of resistance to flumazafen. So that was the first documented case. And then what we did for this particular experiment, we partnered up with Dr. Pat Trano at the University of Illinois and his students in his lab. And then they did the molecular work, and then they were able to find a mutation, okay, that conferred a resistance. So this is a very special study because it started from, with the farmers through our extension, working with the farmers, detecting the problem. We brought it here to campus to do a lot of screenings in the greenhouse. We realized something was off of this population, and then we worked with our colleagues in the lab so they could find the true mutation. So it's just a fascinating project the way it started. And what's unique now is because we have the sequencing now and we know where the mutation is, if other farmers detect this problem, they can now collect samples of their giant ragweed plants, and they can work with Dr. Trano at the University of Illinois. And instead of waiting for a year for me to do all this greenhouse screening, for me and my team to do all this greenhouse screenings in the greenhouse, in a matter of weeks, they can have results back in a sense of whether, their populations may contain this mutation that confers high levels of resistance. So to me, this is very, very fascinating.
I would agree. Extremely fascinating stuff. And we're going to share a link to the study and more on our website and social media as well for folks that want to really dive in and take a look here. And I guess I would say, Rodrigo, as we kind of wrap up here, what about the future? Where do things kind of go from here after you guys have looked at this this research and more? I hear a lot of companies, for instance, they talk about multiple modes of action for various products to try and combat various diseases. I guess, where do we go from here? What does the future look like? How can we continue to fight giant ragweed and other problems in our quartered soybean fields?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question, Jesse. So first, for this particular case with PPO-resistant giant ragweed, what that does, that limits our farmers, to grow non-GMO soybeans, because it then becomes very difficult to control this, aggressive weeds post-emergence in their non-GMO soybeans. So our recommendations for them is to change practices there for a couple of years until we can crash that soil seed bank. Okay, so where I'm going with this, as far as resistance goes, because these weeds are going to continue to evolve resistance, and that's happening at a very fast base. Okay. So what we're talking a lot about is through integrated management strategies, the use of good residual herbicides, you know, using multiple effective sites of action as part of the pre-program, as also as part of the post-program, but also changing things as often as possible and also relying on non-chemical strategies. Our research group is looking a lot into bringing cereal rye as a strategy. You know, production of cereal rye cover crop, high biomass cereal rye cover crop can help with weed control. So now we're looking at different strategies that can help our chemicals remain effective, because if we're only relying on chemicals for weed control, we're only going to continue to select resistance, and our weeds, as every growing season goes by, they're becoming more and more challenging to control. So we got to, you know, take a what we like to say is think a little bit outside the jug. The jug is still going to be very important, but what else can we be using, okay, to support our chemicals to remain effective? So that's one thing that I always like to talk to our farmers. What else can we be doing to prevent weed seed production and also spreading weed seeds from fields to fields? So those are important things to keep in mind.
I like that term. I've never heard that before. Think outside the jug. I might have to borrow that from time to time, Rodrigo. Very, yeah, very good stuff. No, and I appreciate the work that you guys have been doing with this research and much more. And again, we'll share a link on our website, social media, to the study, and we appreciate the time with that. Dr. Rodrigo Worley from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Rodrigo, thanks for being with us here today. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in the future.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, before we run out of time today, this is a really cool story. A young woman in South Central Nebraska, she's a first-generation sheep producer. Her and her husband, they are producing pelletized sheep wool to use as a fertilizer for your plants. I'm talking like your house plants, garden plants, etc. This is really, really interesting stuff. We're going to learn about it. Megan Landis Murphy with Kestrel Ridge Pellet Company will join us next here on AOA.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down, covered by the Verizon 5G network, and all for less than $30 a month when you get four lines. And the best part? We give you a free Samsung Galaxy A54 5G when you switch to the Total 5G Plus Unlimited plan. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, I need a printer for the office.
Staples has the best brands, like HP.
Well, I have some demands.
Oh.
Burton Sales demands it be fast.
HP's Office Jet Pro is super fast.
Megan Marketing demands color prints.
Check.
And Kurt the Controller demands I don't overpay.
With Staples hot deals, you get up to 40% off select HP printers.
Oh, great. My job can be...
demanding?
I was going to say a lot of fun.
Right now at Staples, save up to 40% on select HP printers. America's most trusted printer brand. Ends 9/28.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with the team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com, use code SAVE, or text SAVE to 511-511 and claim 40% off. roundhouseprovisions.com, code SAVE.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text SAVE to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Tax fees may apply.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
On the September episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discuss the agriculture trade deficit forecast from USDA with Nancy Martinez, NCGA Director of Public Policy, Trade, and Biotechnology, and Matthew Poe, Mississippi farmer and member of NCGA's Market Development Action Team.
The USDA releases these quarterly reports on U.S. ag trade. So the latest one came out August 27th with some not-so-great news for ag exports. So there's actually a projection that for fiscal year 2025, the ag deficit will be $42.5 billion. That means that with agriculture, we are importing way more than we are exporting.
It is very, very concerning. I don't know any way other to put it. We have a huge crop coming in, and we need somewhere to go for this, especially our corn. I mean, this is something we got to figure out, and we got to get something going right in our direction.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA and learn more at ncga.com.
Tracy Lawrence for the U.S. Air Force.
We all have tough choices we have to make. Life just works that way. I remember when I was getting ready to move to Nashville to pursue my dream, I packed my 10-year-old Toyota Corolla with 250,000 miles on it and hit the road. It was a tough choice, but the right one for me. If I decided to take what seemed like an easier road, I never would have achieved my dream. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Joining us now here on AOA, Agriculture of America. I had this story come across my email here earlier in the month of August, and finally get a chance to catch up on this story and talk about it. A company is producing and selling pelletized sheep wool as a fertilizer and soil amendment for plants. That company is Kestrel Ridge Pellet Company out of Nebraska. Joining us now for a conversation, Megan Landis Murphy with Kestrel Ridge Pellet Company. Megan, thanks for being with us. Hope you're doing well.
Hi, thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
So using pelletized sheep wool as a fertilizer, immediately I saw that headline and I went, okay, I've never heard of this before. So give us a little background on why you decided to start the company and why you're looking to use pelletized sheep wool as a fertilizer.
Yeah, of course. So I am a first generation sheep producer. So we have a ranch here in South Central Nebraska. So after our first year of shearing on our own sheep ranch, I was kind of having a hard time figuring out what to do with the wool our sheep produce. So to give a little more background on the wool industry, the traditional wool market doesn't really favor wool that can't be made into clothing or yarn. And most sheep in our region and in the Midwest in general don't produce that high quality fine wool needed for clothing. Their wool is often coarser, which means it's most likely to cause skin irritation and be itchy if in contact with your skin. So like us, most producers get their revenue from lamb sales, not wool. So the sheep's wool is basically just kind of a byproduct. Nevertheless, these sheep still need to be shorn every year because their wool is continuously growing. But their wool is often of so little value that the price you can sell it for usually doesn't even come close to covering the cost of shearing, which is just their form of a haircut. So talking to other sheep producers, I realized this is a huge pain point. I've heard of producers reluctantly burying or burning their wool just to get rid of it because they felt like they didn't have any other option, which is super disheartening because wool is a remarkable fiber that has many applications and benefits beyond clothing. So I decided to do something to help. And after going down a Google rabbit hole, I ran across a research study from the University of Vermont about wool pellets. So the study just compared a traditional organic fertilizer versus wool pellets on plots of tomatoes and spinach. And they found that vegetable yields, vegetable quality, and soil properties were similar between the two treatments, which suggests that wool pellets are a viable alternative to other fertilizers on the market. And I thought this was just so exciting. It's the best solution for me to use this underutilized sheep wool. And it's also beneficial for the soil and in turn your plants. So it just blew my mind and I jumped headfirst into producing wool pellets.
Absolutely fascinating. And I think the fact that you have been able to find a way to reuse something or find a use for this wool that, to your point, you otherwise wouldn't necessarily know what to do with it, and finding a way to bring more nitrogen to your plants, your garden and house plants, etc. This is just fascinating that this is able to be achieved, Megan.
Yeah, it's a super simple manufacturing process. It's just two steps. So first we shred the wool, which basically just slices the fleece into more manageable pieces for our pellet mill. And the pellet mill is the second step, which just condenses the wool through a roller and die plate mechanism. And the result is a pellet, which looks similar to a wood pellet you might use in like your smoker, but it's just made of 100% sheep wool, and that's it.
Now, I think about this being used for garden, house plants, etc. So I'm wondering, safe for use around pets? And then also, how often would someone have to reapply wool pellets? Talk about both those things for us.
Yeah, so it's 100% natural, so it's just sheep wool in it, so it's definitely safe around your pets. They might be intrigued by the smell, which is smells like a sheep because it's just wool. But it actually lasts in the soil for 6 months as it naturally biodegrades. And over the course of those 6 months, it'll release nitrogen, potassium, and other micronutrients for your plant's growth and health.
Fantastic. Well, and I know as well, you were kind enough, you shared a discount code with folks who were reading about this on the American Ag Network and Agriculture of America websites. That code is American15, that you can get 15% off on your website. If folks want to learn more information, they want to maybe get some of these wool pellets to use around their home, their farm and ranch, how can folks get more information, Megan?
Yeah, we have a website. It's krpelletco.com, or you can contact me, email me at krpelletco@gmail.com.
krpelletco.com for more info. Megan, before we let you go, final thoughts, anything else you would want to add about this this exciting journey that you are on here, creating these wool pellets for fertilizer?
Yeah, I would just say, so you don't need a ton of wool pellets to really make a difference. So it's about 1 pound per 10 square feet. So a typical 4x8 raised garden bed, you'd use only 3 pounds of wool pellets.
Good things to think about. And again, more online, krpelletco.com. With that, Megan Landis Murphy from Kestrel Ridge Pellet Company. Megan, thanks for the time here today. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to following along with your journey. We'll hopefully talk to you again in the future.
Thanks so much, Jesse.
Man, once again, I thought that was a really cool story. Fun stuff that they are doing there in South Central Nebraska. All right, we're out of time here on AOA today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to turn our attention to Washington, D.C. It's the Farmers Union fly-in going on this week as we try to get a new farm bill done. We're going to talk with Doug Somke, the president of the South Dakota Farmers Union. He'll join us tomorrow on AOA. Also, Dan Hallstrom with the U.S. Meat Export Federation will run through the latest meat export numbers. Markets with Garrett Toy from Ag Trader Talk and more coming up tomorrow on AOA. Have a good one. I'm Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn. But not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger.
Welcome to Staples.
My son's teacher emailed his back-to-school list. He needs crayons and notebooks.
With Staples Hot Deals, you'll find low prices on tons of school supplies. And all in stock.
Oh, now they're saying he needs folders and glue.
You got it.
And markers?
Of course.
Oh, geez.
Might I suggest two carts?
Staples has everything for school in stock and priced low. Right now, 24-pack crayons.